This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at Ladbrokes.com. 18 plus begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Aspilicueta, the in-swinging cross by him, up they go. Smalling's there, oh, it's on the post, Rüdiger, and in! Ross Barkley has equalised for Chelsea! Header by Rüdiger off the post, Barkley on the spot, has denied Jose Mourinho a famous victory!
Here's Salah down the right side, played in by Shaqiri, into the box, steers it beyond Lursel, in off the post, and it kisses the back of the net. A lightning quick attack from Liverpool, Shaqiri at the heart of it.
Another fantastic goal from Arsenal, and this is a classic Arsenal goal.
Mahrez! Oh, that is picture book. He's curled that in from the edge of the box.
It's the Premier League preview show for week 10 of the 18-19 season. I'm Tom Rennie, and coming up this weekend, a big test at Wembley. How will Manchester City cope with playing at the London home of the Jacksonville Jaguars when they take on the still homeless Tottenham Hotspur just days after the NFL head for home? What about Manchester United's stalled comeback? Will it get back on the rails at home against resurgent Everton? Plus, do they really have their Arsenal back? Should Leicester and West Ham be worried? And what kind of sadist would watch Southampton against Newcastle? Let's say hello to our panel for this week, and we start with TalkSport's football editor, David Walker. Dave, emotional week for you, leaving your house of 6 years. Are you going to be able to keep it together during this programme? I worry about your well-being.
It's a new beginning.
Yeah, it's a new beginning.
I'm all good.
Just like Watford managers, houses to you mean nothing. Leave that one, another one comes in, yeah?
Well, I've signed a 2-year contract. Javi Gracia is about to sign a new 3-year contract.
And neither's going to last.
Yeah.
Oh, great win for Watford last week. That's why he's in a good mood. We'll talk about that later. With us for the first time on the preview show this season, former Tottenham, Wolves, Southampton, Wimbledon, Charlton defender, Chris Perry's here. How are you, mate? You all right?
I'm really good, thanks, Tom.
You've made some time for English football. Usually
I've tried,
working on the old Serie A these days.
I'm keeping busy, yeah.
Make sure you don't put an accent on the old Italian accent. Don't eat pizza during the show. Avoid spaghetti.
Like Steve McLaren, the old Dutch one, yeah?
Yeah, try and avoid it if you can. Also with us as well. Now, he suffered this season. He watches a lot of Cardiff games. If not, he watches West Ham games. If not, he watches Crystal Palace games. Danny Gabbidon, I mean, this season's been tough for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, but there's a long way to go.
and Cardiff are winning now.
I know.
And scoring four.
Week. Yeah, law of averages.
If you had any air left, you'd have pulled it out, wouldn't you? Shock.
Yeah. Nah, they played really well, to be fair, on the weekend.
We will get into that. The shocking scenes of a Cardiff thrashing. If you're listening to this programme on a radio station out there, you can download an extended podcast. Search for TalkSport Premier League Preview Show on Acast, iTunes, Spotify, any good podcast provider. Right, let's get into match one on the programme. The big match of the weekend, one of the biggest games of the season. It's Tottenham against Manchester City on Monday Night Football. Spurs have lost just two of their last 21 Premier League games at Wembley Stadium, one of which was against Man City back in April. City, they've been great going forward, but I love this about them this week. Conceded just 6 goals in 15 games and never more than once in a match during their last 15 Premier League games going back to April when they lost to Man United. Absolutely incredible. Let's go to a former Spurs man first on this, in Chris Perry. Chris, the start Tottenham have had, it's been very, very good. And yet, maybe they haven't played any real free-flowing football. Maybe they haven't been as entertaining as they have been in previous seasons. But the win against Cardiff, hard fought. The win against West Ham, very hard fought. What do you made of them so far? And again, we've got to ask, what do they do against Man City? Are they going to go and attack Man City?
It's difficult. I think they've had a great start to the season in terms of results. I don't think performances have been particularly good. I think they've picked up a few injuries. And it's been pretty underwhelming, some of their performances and the way they've played. But, you know, you look at their results. They've won their last four games. They're going into the games full of confidence. But you have to think that Man City are probably going to be a step too far for them. I think in current form, you look at the way they've been playing, and it's been bitty, and they beat West Ham last week 1-0. But again, on another day, if Lloris don't make a couple of saves, they could easily have lost that game. And that's kind of what it's been like, where they've been relying on players and they've been just scraping over the line. And I think you need more than that to go and beat a team like Manchester City.
Tend to agree. Have to agree. I think what's been impressive about Tottenham is, in the last couple of seasons under Pochettino, I think when they've had injuries or when he's tried to rotate the squad, they haven't won those kind of matches. But I think the grinding nature that they're showing, getting results without playing well, is, I think it actually bodes really well, and you expect them to actually, you know, kind of click into gear at some point. I think very similar with Liverpool, they're playing exactly the same way, unbeaten, but I don't think they've put in a stellar performance yet. So I think it's been a good start to the season for Tottenham. You could say, well, they normally start slow, so what they've done this season is an improvement.
It is an improvement. This is the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they normally start slow.
Is that
so
Premier League or ever?
Is that, you know what I mean? You can look at
best
it either
ever
way.
Premier League start?
Yeah.
Still not top?
No.
Well, no, but I think, you know, Pochettino in some quarters has come in for criticism already this season in parts. But actually, they have done really well. When you consider they're the only team that didn't strengthen at all in the summer.
Yeah.
They've had to contend with injuries. They've had to rely on players like, say, like Lamela coming in and Sissoko, who haven't always done it, but at the moment they're doing it. You know, he's had a lot to contend with. Plus the backdrop of the stadium situation. I think they've done really well. But Man City is by far the toughest challenge they've faced so far this season.
They are one of the few teams, though, that can take City on and give them a game. There's not many teams in the league that can do that, but they can, I think
at their best they can. Yeah. I'm not sure if they're at that stage at the moment.
Well, if they are to beat Man City, then it's all about getting Christian Eriksen on the field, right? Because Lamela has played pretty well. Maybe his most consistent run since coming in at Tottenham. And he's been fit, really, for a little while, so which makes a big difference. But Christian Eriksen, it's a weird story. So the Danish manager said he had a chronic problem, which Maurizio Pochettino has then refuted, saying, no, I don't know what he's talking about. And maybe the less said about the Danish FA and their players, the better. There could be something else going on there we might get sued for if we talk about it anymore. So what happens with Christian Eriksen this weekend? Does he come back into the team? Does he start this game? Will we see Lamela start? You mentioned Sissoko. Like, he's played all right in recent weeks, but you can't play Moussa Sissoko against Kevin De Bruyne, can you? They didn't even play the same sport.
Well, that's if De Bruyne plays as well, which he probably will. He did 60, 70 minutes, didn't he, last night or whatever. So, if I'm Eric Lamela and I don't play, I'd be very disappointed because I think he's been the main man for them the last few weeks. But you do need your full 11, I think. If you want to play the way Tottenham play, they tend to play the same way against everyone. They, you know, they respect the opposition, but they don't really change their way of doing things. If you're going to do that without your full strength team, I think it's going to be very difficult. So, but if you're going to go with Sissoko and Lemina, who've been doing well, I think maybe tactically then you have to maybe adjust things to Man City and what they're going to do, and maybe be a bit more cautious, maybe sit back a little bit more and try and soak up a bit more. I don't know.
Eriksen is
key man. He's a key man.
We're recording this on Wednesday night, and Spurs are about to play PSV in the Champions League. Eriksen is starting that match.
He's starting tonight. Yeah. Well, that would suggest to me that he won't start at the weekend. But I thought he might be sub tonight and actually start the game against Man City at the weekend. But
it's a big game tonight, though.
They have to win, don't they? Yeah, absolutely.
What about Man City then? Great performance against Shakhtar Donetsk in midweek. Bernardo Silva came off the bench and scored the third goal within seconds. We mentioned Kevin De Bruyne. Chris, does Kevin De Bruyne start this game? I suppose it depends on how important Tottenham away is to Pep Guardiola.
I think De Bruyne starts. I think playing on Tuesday night, I know it's over in Ukraine, but playing on Tuesday night gives him a lot of rest before he plays again on Sunday. So Monday night, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, Monday,
night. So, I mean, it's almost the week, six days, so I expect him to start. He's their best player. For me, he's their best player. Last season, he was the outstanding player in the league, I thought, along with Salah, obviously. Yeah. And I just think when he plays, he gives them another dimension. David Silva is a fantastic player. Aguero's a fantastic player, but De Bruyne just adds something to that team that no one else can give.
They were a bit conservative against Liverpool in their other big away game this season. After the game, Pep said he had learned lessons from going to Anfield and getting stuffed. Would they be conservative against Tottenham? Worried about Tottenham?
I don't think
not as much, no. I think obviously Liverpool are the one team that seemed to be able to beat Man City. And he showed the utmost respect to them. I think using the full-backs didn't fly forward as much as normal. And it was strange to see, actually, because Pep normally, he does not go away from what he's about and believes in his philosophy. But he went there almost looking for the point. And to be fair, they could have won it, couldn't they?
With the penalty at the end.
At the end, and it would have been a great kind of tactical performance. But I don't see him going away from what he's about playing against Tottenham. I think De Bruyne will start. And they look like they're clicking into gear now. It sounds as if I'm saying, look, they were on a bad run. I mean, they've been winning without De Bruyne. But, you know, on the weekend, last weekend, they look fantastic.
Sané looked really good again. Sané, you know, it's the first time he's really hit his straps this season.
They could have
had
seven or eight against Shakhtar as well. They, you know, every time they went forward, they looked like scoring. So they look now that they're in top gear.
What a fantastic game that could be. Though last time I said it was going to be a fantastic game was Liverpool City. And I was on loads of shows saying, now we're always going, it's going to be 0-0 in these big games, but this one's going to deliver. That one didn't. But I think this one might. Monday Night Football. Before that, full programme of Premier League action. Next up, we're talking about Man United up against Everton, 4 o'clock on Sunday.
We didn't, especially because Mr. Bonucci, Mr. Chiellini, they could go to some Harvard University to give classes about how to be a centre defender. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
Right, let's talk about Manchester United. They take on Everton, 4 o'clock UK time on Sunday. Only in 2014-15 under Louis van Gaal have Man United won fewer points from their opening 9 games in a Premier League season, just 14 right now. The Toffees winless in 7 against Man United in all competitions. Their last win was 3-0 back in April 2015. Danny Gabbidon. Interesting to hear from Jose Mourinho speaking after the Juventus loss in midweek. Turns out they're down to the bare bones. They have spent £80-90 million on players, but, you know, they ain't good enough, are they? Can't take on Juve, can we? We've basically got no players. We're no good. We're average. We're Division 1. I mean, how many more excuses can there be? The only fight I've seen of Mourinho in recent times when he tried to offer out the assistant. Yeah, that's when I liked him again, for a bit.
He's got a book full of excuses, to be fair. Listen, I don't think it was anything to do with personnel, really. Champions League game. I thought it was a tactical thing. If you look at the way that they played, the respect that they gave Juventus, they just sat off, allowed Juventus to play, almost like they were the away team. Juventus got the goal, controlled the game, and again, very much like the Chelsea game, very much like the Newcastle game, once they went behind, then they had a bit of a go and, you know, tried to open up and get a goal back. You know, it's very easy as a player, you know, when you're behind, to then maybe, you know, kind of go for it, or the shackles are off, or for the manager to kind of do that. Why are they not kind of playing that way from the start? You know, they're so kind of passive. I don't see any tactical kind of plan when they don't have the ball. I don't even see a tactical plan when they do have the ball. So all these people kind of saying, oh, well, the last couple of games they've shown that they're playing for the manager and all this. I'm not convinced. You know, a couple of second halves of football, that doesn't convince me that players are playing for the manager. I think you judge that over the course of a whole season. So Everton, I think they could get something here. Good time to play United for them.
You could see a situation like we've had in recent weeks. Everton have been playing well. It wouldn't surprise me if Everton go in at half time leading this match and Man United have to come out again and bail themselves out.
Everton have been playing well. They've won 3 games. Yeah, I get that. But they needed 2 goals in the last 3 minutes to beat Crystal Palace, who are not great, are they?
Yeah, Palace can feel
they're not great. I mean,
Raspberry sticking the boot in. They outplayed Leicester for 90 minutes away from home. That was pretty decent. I think that front four looks all right.
Yeah, going forward, I think they're good.
I wonder if Cenk Tosun comes in, though, this weekend for Richarlison. They have tried him up front last few weeks to varying degrees of success. Do you think there might be a change this weekend?
Well, he scored, didn't he? Obviously scored last week.
Does that get you in the team, the goal?
It helps, doesn't it? It certainly puts you in the manager's frame of mind. Richarlison, no 13 Premier League appearances against top six sides, never scored a goal. Never scored a goal.
Was Watford like that, though, wasn't he, to be fair?
Is it Everton? Are they much better than Watford? I don't see that. They're a bigger club. Don't get me wrong. Massive club. But are they much bigger than Watford in terms and better than Watford? I don't think they are.
Current squad should be. I mean, Bernard is a player, didn't he?
He's a talented boy. I think they've got potential. I was really pleased to see Lookman coming on and actually making an impact. I think he's a top player and they need to use him more. I think Calvert-Lewin comes on and scores. That's really good. I think they've got some good young players there who probably need more of a chance. I just think Man United always seem to beat Everton.
Can I take you back to Man United? Because I wanted to get your view on the front three. It may have been Phil Neville this week. I can't recall who said this, but they basically talked about the front three of Lukaku, Martial and Rashford. They should be getting 65 to 70 goals between them in a season. At the moment, Lukaku's got 4 in the league, Martial has got 3, Rashford the 1. Can that three work together? And will we see that three against Everton? Or will we see Wan-Mata in that three, who's had a couple of decent showings?
I've never been a huge fan of Lukaku. I think he misses too many chances to be at a top club like Manchester United. I think it takes him too many chances to score goals. 7 games, is it now, without a goal? I think something like that.
He hasn't scored a goal at Old Trafford, I know this one, since March. That was the last time he scored a goal at Old Trafford in the Premier League.
Let's be honest, the team isn't flowing, so he's not maybe getting as many chances as he's had in previous seasons, but it just looks as though he's a little bit underwhelmed. Does he want to be there? There's all these rumours he's talking up Juventus and
things
like that.
Why does everyone want to leave Man United?
Because
I'll go.
Oh, I wonder why. I wonder why.
You'd have to look at the manager, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You have to look at the manager. Lots of players seem to be unhappy. They're not performing on the pitch.
It's not a front three. It's just Lukaku.
Oh, it's not. It's not. Lukaku's up front by himself. Yeah. Martial and Rashford playing in wide areas.
Fullbacks.
You know, Rashford can't play in he's not going to be effective in a wide area. He's a centre forward.
But he needs to drift into.
He needs to be allowed a little bit of freedom to go and get the ball.
For me, though, there's no reason why they can't play how Liverpool's front three plays.
Close together and tight and a bit more freedom.
Because he's not as good as Firmino when he controls the ball, plays people in.
Yes, but if you can get the runners around Lukaku, it will help him.
But he's got other strengths that are probably better than Firmino.
Mm.
Yeah.
In terms of he's much stronger in the air, you play the ball into him. He's probably more powerful. Yeah, absolutely.
But the problem is they don't have a tactical way of playing with and without the ball. So you see they sit so deep. Rashford is back playing as a fullback. Martial, when they win the ball back, they're so deep, they're having to run 100 yards with a ball. Lukaku's isolated. You look at the way Liverpool do it, they kind of keep that front three together, the midfield three shuffle across and almost do the work of a winger. So it's a tactical thing for me with United, why they can't get the best out of the front three.
Let's move on to Liverpool, as we brought them up here. They're up against Cardiff City, 3 o'clock UK time on Saturday. The Reds have lost one of their last 45 Premier League home matches against newly promoted teams. Anyone? Blackpool in 2010, the last newly promoted team to beat them, the 1-0-7 at Anfield under Jurgen Klopp. Cardiff scored as many goals in their 4-2 win against Fulham as they had in their previous 8 games in the Premier League. I'll talk Liverpool in a minute, actually, but Gabs, you're here on Cardiff. They scored 4 goals. Were you there? Were you shocked? Are you feeling all right?
I wasn't there, actually.
So that's what it is. As long as you don't go, it's going to be fine. You're bad luck.
I was at Villa, actually, that day.
Those Fulham defenders helped them out there, didn't they?
Yeah.
Falling over.
They've been
they were shambolic defensively, weren't they?
Fulham, and no one's conceded more goals than them. It was a good time to play them, I think, from a Cardiff point of view. It was kind of a must-win game for them, and it's been coming slightly. They've been improving game by game. I thought against Tottenham they played well. Were slightly unlucky maybe not to get something from that game, and I think Neil Warnock's he's settled now on a starting 11. He's changed the system a little bit. They were playing 4-4-2 and kind of getting murdered in midfield. He's put an extra man into midfield, so they're playing more of a 4-3-3. He's got Josh Murphy playing left side, who's been doing really well. Bobby Reid did well on the other side, and he's put Patterson up top. He just seems to win so many flick-ons and headers, and that's been the biggest issue for Cardiff, really, for Neil Warnock, trying to find a striker who he can rely on. He hasn't been able to, so he brought Patterson in last season as a right-back, played him as a 10, and he got double figures in goals. Now he's stuck him up front, and
That's mad, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's crazy, sat on that front for the last few minutes. Yeah. Or Steve Bruce.
Paul Warhurst.
Yeah. Well, I spoke to Warnock last season about it, and I said, only you, you're the only manager that would buy a right back and then play him as a number 10. And I think he said to me, well, I quickly realised that he couldn't defend, so I just had to stick him. But it wouldn't work.
Good scouting network. Great scouting network he's got there.
Any other manager. So, I mean, that'll give them a great shot of confidence, obviously going into a difficult game now against Liverpool.
Liverpool, I was doing their game last week against Huddersfield, the late game, and let me tell you, it was awful. It was an awful, awful game of football. They mixed up the front three, so it was Sturridge, Shaqiri and Salah who scored the goal.
Lallana
played. Midfield. Yeah. I think about 60 minutes or so then to come off. He scored, Mo Salah. It was the end of his... We said it was a drought, but it had been like four games. You know, it wasn't really a drought. But again, they weren't great, Liverpool. They didn't play great. The sharp passing wasn't there. Apart from the goal, there was no passing movement that was more than about, you know, 10, 12 passes across the game. Should we be worried about Liverpool? Probably not against Cardiff this weekend, but why isn't it quite there for them?
I think teams are not allowing them that space to counter-attack as much as they did last season. You know, teams have learnt from last season. You mentioned earlier about Man City, Pep Guardiola learning and playing deeper and keeping his fullbacks in, and I think teams have looked at that Man City performance and they'll look at it and they'll go, this is how we can maybe stop Liverpool being fluid and flowing in their football. And that's what you have to do. You have to try and make it difficult for them. And I don't think they've got much creativity in midfield if you do that. If you sit back in and they have to play in front of you, they haven't got those players. Maybe with Lallana coming back in, is one of those players who might open up the defence. Shaqiri, who did last week, open up a defence. But, you know, they're not as good at that. I think it's a worry for them, certainly. I think teams have found them out a little bit, and it's much more difficult for them this season.
Well, that Huddersfield performance give Cardiff a bit of hope. Because Huddersfield, if they had anyone in the forward area of the pitch who could score a goal, they had a few chances and they were so bad going forward, but they got into areas and they just couldn't get
the
final ball.
There was such a funny one in the second half where it fell to Mounier.
Mounier's one.
He was kind of falling over. It was such a hilarious four-year-old's first football match.
I felt for him.
Did you?
It's horrible when you see a pro like that and you know he's swinging his lefty and he's not got any confidence in it.
They had a real go, didn't they, Huddersfield? You know, and if Cardiff, a lot of teams have gone to Anfield and probably been beaten before they've gone on the pitch. But if Cardiff,
I think they already are.
Yeah, they probably will be. But I just think it's maybe not as foregone conclusion as we may have thought a few weeks ago.
I think the big difference between Huddersfield and obviously Cardiff is they're going to Anfield. Yeah. I mean, their home record, Liverpool's home record, is ridiculous. They haven't lost for God knows how many games, clean sheets for fun. And you can only see Cardiff, you know, going on the back foot, trying to keep the score down, really. It might be a game that actually kickstarts Liverpool, you know, back into gear, really. Because, as you say, that, you know, the three players up front, they're not firing whatsoever. I think they're still creating chances, but the final ball or the final finish from, you know, whether it's Mane or Salah, they've been so sloppy at times on the counter-attack. I think the only positive at the minute is they are rock solid defensively.
Brilliant at the back. Van Dijk's made such a difference. And Gomez coming in as well, done really
Gomez
well.
Gomez playing right back again, though, last week with Dan Lover in the centre, Alexander-Arnold on the bench.
Yeah, he's rested him the last couple of games, which is strange.
We'll see it again against Cardiff, you think? I mean, if Cardiff
are going to go against Josh Murphy, who I think is a real talent on the wing, you know, you might need someone as defensively good as Gomez to play against him. Alexander-Arnold has his weaknesses defensively. Great going forward.
I think he's been slightly off his game a little bit. I've seen a lot of Liverpool. I don't think he's quite hit the standards this season as he did last season. I think Klopp's maybe realised that. Just give him a couple of games, you know, on the bench, refresh yourself. But I like Gomez in the middle. I think that partnership with Van Dijk is probably the best in the league, I think.
At the moment, the best partnership in the league has been broken up by the best in the world, Dejan Lovren. Right now.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
So good. He's like a
footballing
superman.
He got to the final of the Champions League and the World Cup, but lost both. Varane got to the final of the Champions League and the World Cup and won them both, but Lovren's better than
him
somehow.
That's a great comparison.
Bizarre.
How does that happen?
Lovren is so good, he's just been cast as Thanos in the brand new Avengers movie. It's incredible. One final quick question, actually. Gabs, I've got to ask you this. I don't know if it's true or not. I know you weren't at the game. But is it true when Cardiff beat Fulham, they played the Jurassic Park theme at the full-time whistle? I'd read that. I don't know if it was true or not. I don't know if you'd have got any sources on the ground.
They might have.
Can you find that out for me? Let me know.
I can.
I mean, it won't help for this show, but I want that to be true.
I still don't count Cardiff as winning against a Premier League team yet, though, Fulham. Because they've come up. They've come up. They're not a Premier League team for me. Until they've beaten someone who was in the league last year, I don't think that counts as a Premier League team.
It's tough criteria. I'm pretty sure Fulham are in the Premier League, but you know.
They're in it, but they won't be for long, the way they're going.
Right, we've got to move on. Next section is Burnley against Chelsea. Stay with us.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Azpilicueta, the in-swinging cross by him, up they go, Smalling's there, oh it's on the post, Rüdiger, and in, Ross Barkley has equalised for Chelsea, headed by Rüdiger off the post, Barkley on the spot.
Right, let's talk Burnley against Chelsea, 1:30 UK time on Sunday, this one gets underway, the Blues unbeaten after their first 9 games of a top-flight season for the 5th time in their history. Burnley have won 7 points from their last 4 games, one more than they picked up in their previous 11 combined. Though, of course, they were thrashed by Man City last week. Gabs, I want to ask you about Chelsea, because we've sung their praises quite rightly this season. They have been fantastic in so many games. But against Man United, with the lead at half-time, against a fairly average mid-table Man United, they struggled to break them down. They struggled to create chances, and they were very lucky in the end. Kind of double deflection save, kind of goal mouth scramble, got them back into it. What went wrong in that game, and what have they got to put right for this one?
I think that they don't have that kind of clinical nature, do they? They don't have that top striker, Morata, for whatever reason. Is lacking a bit of confidence. Giroud is not that kind of prolific goal scorer. And you think if Hazard doesn't dominate a game, I know he's been in great form scoring goals and assisting, but I can't see him keeping that kind of goal scoring form up the whole season. They might lack goals a little bit. I think the way they play as well, they're so kind of possession based. You know, they're dominating the possession stats, even more average possession, I think, than Man City, which is pretty hard to do. So I think at times they almost passed the ball for the sake of passing the ball as well, and maybe have gone away a little bit from that kind of counter-attacking pace, which they do have with the likes of Hazard and Willian, and allowing teams to kind of get back into shape, and then it's a bit harder for them to maybe break them down. So, I mean, I can't see Burnley being any trouble for them, but I do think with regards to winning the Premier League, not having a goal-scoring striker is probably going to hurt them. Plus, I'm not actually totally convinced by the defensive pairing of Rüdiger and
Luiz
either.
They're loving Rüdiger, though, aren't they? They said he was going to get a new contract offer this week. Alonso did sign a new contract this week.
Alonso has. Rüdiger, David Luiz, they've both got a rick in them, haven't they? I mean, let's be honest. They're an accident waiting to happen at times, aren't they? I mean, he scored a goal, didn't he, last week, Rüdiger? But let's be honest. I'm a big fan of Olivier Giroud. I think every team that Giroud plays in, he makes them better. you know, Hazard seems to have a wonderful understanding. He doesn't score. He's not scoring, but he's so important to the team in being that focal point for players to play in off. And he links so well with Hazard. Hazard becomes a different player. When they brought him on against Man United, it changed the game for Chelsea.
He loves playing with him, doesn't he?
He does. He's a great foil for other players. And I'd love him to score a few more goals, and get the credit he kind of deserves.
It was strange because it looked like he'd kind of gone with Giroud as his main man a few games ago when... they obviously Hazard, as he said, he loves linking up with him. They got a good understanding, and it looked like Giroud was going to be the main man now. And then suddenly, Morata's come in, kind of the last. I know he scored a couple of goals. And he got the starting berth for last weekend. So I think he's unsure, really. Sorry, there.
I think Giroud played in both the French games, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I think probably coming back, he wanted to give him a little bit of a rest. He's a little bit older than Morata, isn't he? Morata didn't play an awful lot of football, did he, with Spain? And maybe he was hoping that it would work with Morata and
give Giroud a bit of a rest. If you saw Hazard through the middle at some point as well.
Hazard, I've heard he's missing the game tomorrow night.
Is he? Really?
Yeah, but they've said he's got a back problem.
I think he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Barte Borisov, isn't
it?
I mean, the
Europa League.
He did that in the other round. He did the same thing, didn't he? Basically said,
"Oh, me back."
He didn't travel, did he?
Yeah. Hazard is actually having his most productive season if you look at the numbers so far.
Number me.
He's got a goal or an assist every 66.7 minutes so far this season, which is on paper. If we were to put that over the season, that would mean he would have his best season for Chelsea. And you know, if Morata or Giroud don't step up with those goals, if he is at his best for the whole campaign, he is the sort of player that could keep them in the mix. And they might go, you know, if they get to January, maybe they will get someone in.
It wouldn't surprise if you saw him playing through the middle, like what he did with Insigne.
Insigne at Napoli, and he changed Mertens from a wide player into a striker.
Here we go, Serie A. Couldn't stop him, could you?
We couldn't help ourselves. Sorry. But the way they play, they can play a small man at front because that possession kind of style they play, they work their way through the thirds. You can play with a little man through the middle. So I think if things don't work out with Giroud or Morata, I think you might see a Hazard maybe playing through the middle.
What about Burnley, though?
Yeah.
They've got a chance.
it's going to be 4-4-2. It's going to be probably Vidra behind one striker. I think Stephen Defoe is back-ish. It's not going to make a great deal of difference in this game, but it's someone who's got something different in their midfield. Yeah. I mean, they just do what they do, don't they, Burnley? Nothing has really changed infinite.
What cracked me up was Sean Dyche on last weekend, where they've gone to City, they've gone hammered five, and he's complaining about one of the goals with the ball being over the line and
all the players
stopped. It made any difference.
I hadn't seen the replay though. Had it gone over the line?
Yeah, I think it
was out. It was out. It was out.
Fair enough then. Sean, he's
right.
About
four different things with that goal.
Goals change games.
The ref should have.
Every Burnley player, they thought a penalty might have been about to be given, so they're all waiting for the referee to do something. And in the meanwhile, Silva just scoots around the back, crosses it in.
I think he was offside as well. Might have been offside as well.
Well, he's right then, isn't he? He's right.
Well, he is.
Well, he's not, but his players shouldn't stop, should they?
No. You don't want to be playing Chelsea after you've just been spanked 5-0 by City.
That's very true.
I don't know. What are they going to do? 4-4-2, they're going to try and be difficult to beat, and Chelsea is probably just going to.
I think they need to take the lead in the game if they're going to have any chance.
Yeah.
How many times have they been the lead this season in games, Burnley?
I wouldn't have thought many.
They beat Cardiff a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they went ahead in that.
Is it two wins this season? So it's Cardiff, and then what's the other game? They thrashed Bournemouth, didn't they? Aaron Lennon scored, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I think it was always Turf Moor was always quite a fortress for them, wasn't it? But they've lost. You know, they lost two home games already this season.
One of four.
Yeah, but they've only won one of four.
Game, wasn't it?
They've only won one of four games, and they kind of lost that strength and stability that they had there.
Lost the old fear factor. Tell you who else has lost the fear factor at home. It's our next game, Crystal Palace up against Arsenal. 1:30 kickoff on Sunday. Palace, well, their home form is so bad. This was an incredible stat there. So Crystal Palace could become the seventh team in Football League history to both fail to win and score in any of their first five home league games to a season. That's already happened this season with Huddersfield Town, who've already done it. You have to go back to Everton in the 90s, Halifax in 1990 itself, Mansfield in the 70s, West Brom in the 1920s, as well as Norwich for the only other times this has happened. Where are the Holmesdale fanatics roaring their boys onto victory? What's gone wrong at Palace at home?
I don't really care. I'm not a big fan of Palace.
Having
been tenants there for so long, playing there.
Are you enjoying this?
I absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I listen. I don't know. They rely so much on Wilfried Zaha, don't they? And if he's not firing and teams...
And he isn't at the moment.
He's a good player, isn't he? It seems to be talking so much about him
but
being fouled.
He's passing to Jordan Ayew, isn't he? What's he going to do?
What have they got up front? You know, they saw a lot
Alexander
to come on. And they're struggling, aren't they? They're desperate for a centre forward to score goals.
Is he?
Yeah, he came on.
He's probably going to be he's their best striker
He might be a decent hope for them. You know, he's been out for so long. He was a decent player, wasn't he? They're just quite... I mean, Sacco looked awful last week defensively at Everton.
Why is he always trying to nutmeg attacking players in his own half when he wins the ball back? And he's so bad at it. It's the nutmeg that gets me. He turns them, but he's got a big frame so he can get out of the way. But the attacker comes at him and he's trying to...
I didn't think he actually played that bad, but the one cross that comes in the box and you want your centre-half to kind of do the job that he's paid to do... And he's not in the right position.
I thought he was quite pedestrian when the ball got played down the side of him as well.
Yeah, for the second
goal.
Very
pedestrian, wasn't he?
They need a striker. They needed a striker for the last two, 3 seasons.
It doesn't bode well, does it? The you know, Sacco being pedestrian against Arsenal and the way they're playing.
Cenk Tosun, who was not...
Let's talk about Arsenal then. We've got our Arsenal back, so say the fans. 10 wins in a row.
They never had it like this.
No, well, yeah, this is a brand new Arsenal. All sorts. Listen, I was doing the game Monday, and first half, once again, they weren't very good, and there could have been a couple of goals for Leicester. Should have been a penalty, no question. But second half, the Ozil goal at the end of the first half was fantastic. But was it the third goal? Or maybe the second, where Ozil chipped it into Aubameyang? I can't remember which goal it was now, but one of Aubameyang's goals. The full passing movement, Leno.
The second wasn't bad. I mean, the pass from Ozil in the second goal was absolutely... takes four players out of the game.
But some of the football really has been fantastic. And I've got to ask you both about Mesut Ozil. Now, he quite rightly has taken stick for some of his performances, some of his disappearing acts in games. But I thought that performance on Monday, and people will say, oh, Leicester ain't a big team, were fantastic. And what about him wearing the captain's armband as well?
That's the benchmark for him, I think, now. You know, you want him to be playing somewhere near to that level every week. If he can do that consistently... then he is going to be one of the best players in the league, and he's going to be worth the huge sum of money that they pay for him. But he hasn't done it consistently over the last few years, and whether that's down to the manager and the setup of the team, I'm not sure. But he certainly looked... He had a smile on his face. When's the last time you saw him have a smile on his face?
I didn't know he could smile.
No, he looked like he was enjoying things, didn't he? And didn't they all look like they were enjoying playing though? Didn't they? You know.
Yeah.
We all know over the last 10-12 years, they've been capable of playing some really good football at times, and they score some fantastic team goals, but it does look like it's just clicked a little bit. Mm. They're still not great defensively, are they? Let's be honest. The centre-back pairing isn't good. Koscielny coming back training this week.
Sokratis might be back for this as well.
Yeah, potentially.
But I mean, is that great news?
I can actually see. I can see Arsenal winning the game, but Palace actually getting that goal that they so crave.
Mm.
Yeah. I think Arsenal... defensively, they still look vulnerable to me. I thought Leicester for 20 minutes looked very good, could have had a couple more goals. But
if Jamie Vardy weren't on the Vindaloos, then he probably would have scored a couple in the first half, wouldn't he?
He just ran off, didn't he, in the second half? I don't fancy this.
Happened
anymore.
To all of us, mate. Happened to me once in the train home, I tell you. But I had to find a pub in Chadwell Heath. We'll move on.
But they got goals in them, Arsenal, now, haven't they? And I think the biggest thing with Arsenal, they've got like their intensity back with and without the ball. Like,
Torreira's made a huge difference for them.
Can I ask one intensity? I think it's really interesting, this. I was doing the game Monday with Jeremy Eladier, and he said it looks like that these guys are being individually coached.
100%.
Iwobi is the one he picked out.
Yeah, Iwobi looks like a different player.
But he's running round, isn't he?
A bit more end product from him. You can see the players now all kind of know their jobs. They're buying into the manager and they're doing things now at pace. I think the problem with Arsenal the last kind of 2 or 3 seasons under Wenger, everything was too slow. The passing was too slow. They lost the ability to counter-attack, which I think in the Premier League is one of the biggest things. You know, transition when you lose the ball, counter-attacking is a massive thing in that league. If you're too slow in possession, you allow teams to get back into shape. Even Ozil's going to find it difficult to break teams down, but now you're seeing runners flying everywhere. That's why Ozil's then performing better. If he needs those runners off him,
he's got pace with Lacazette and Aubameyang.
Exactly.
I mean, what a goal scorer he is!
So it's 4 goals off the bench in 2 games. Is he back on the bench for this one?
Does he start on the bench again? I don't know.
Why not? I mean, he's working, isn't it?
What excites me is he can play centre forward. He can play left side. He doesn't mind. He doesn't seem to care. They just look. Lacazette and Aubameyang got such a great understanding between the two of them.
Do you think Aubameyang is the only striker who's ever taken Maran Shamak as a style guide?
Shamak was
incredible.
He's hanging on for dear life, isn't he? To be fair,
he's got. They just let it go like us.
I played with Sham at Palace. Yeah. Many a time we said to him, Sham, you've got to whip that off. He just wouldn't listen, and eventually he did in the end. But it's a slight issue, I think, for Emery, trying to fit those two in, because they're both playing so well, and he can play off the left, and he's got some silly stat with his involvement in goals. I think his assists as well have been brilliant.
It's like the top player in the top five European leagues.
He's got the best minutes per goal ratio in Premier League history.
Bringing the stats.
In Premier League history.
He
was a fantastic goal scorer at Dortmund. Could he come and do it in the Premier League? He's doing it, and he's almost playing out of position.
Yeah.
But it's incredible that someone with that record is sitting on Arsenal's bench. That's weird, isn't it?
Danny's got it spot on. How do you fit? They both want to play centre forward. And how many attacking players have Arsenal got? You can't get them all on the pitch at once, and it's how it works.
And I think it shows that there's a bit of a ruthlessness now at Arsenal. That under Wenger, everyone was probably in their comfort zones. They could probably afford to have
a game that was off.
But now, if you don't perform, you're going to go on the bench.
Yeah. I think that's why Ozil's playing so well again as well. I think he knows if he doesn't run around, doesn't perform, Ramsey's sitting on the bench. He'll be the one in and playing, so...
Maybe a similar sort of thing to what happened with Marko Arnautovic last season under David Moyes. If you don't run, you don't play. Let's talk about West Ham up next.
Lovely by Arnautovic. Lovely by Hernandez. Arnautovic! What a save by Lloris! Point blank range, edge of the 6-yard box. The build-up play from Hernandez and Arnautovic was magnificent. And Arnautovic with the effort from close range. In fact, Hernandez was in an offside position. It wasn't given. And Lloris has smothered that. At point blank range.
Right, let's get to Saturday, 5:30 UK time. Leicester against West Ham United. West Ham have lost 7 of their last 10 away games in the Premier League. One of those wins was against Leicester at the back end of last season. The Hammers have also lost more points from winning positions than any Premier League side in the campaign this season. For Leicester, lost 2 consecutive Premier League matches for the 5th time in their last 16 outings. Were good, as we mentioned earlier, in spells against Arsenal, but it certainly fell apart for them in the second half. I went to ask you about Leicester first. Chris, let's come to you on this. I think it's interesting. I was watching the Leicester game. I was doing the commentary of it. I was chatting to our producer, who's a Leicester fan, and he was saying that they've been asking Claude Puel to play a back three all season. He finally did it against Arsenal. I'm led to believe that's the first time that they've done it this season from the start. Maybe wrong on that, but that's what our Leicester fan tells me. And it seemed to work really, really well for certainly that first half. Do you think they'll do that again this weekend or revert to kind of more regulation four at the back, two holding midfielders?
I think it's difficult to say. I mean, it obviously did work well against Arsenal. I think Chilwell is a much better going forward than he is defensively. I think it certainly suits him playing as a left wing back.
Ricardo as well, exactly the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Ricardo Pereira, again, very good going forward. Like most fullbacks these days, much better going that way than the other way. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the way forward against West Ham. Do you need to do that against West Ham?
I mean, Maddison found himself on the left wing a lot, which is a bit weird. Jamie Vardy and
he wants to play centrally, don't they? He wants to play centrally. I think Claude Puel kind of underwhelms me, doesn't it? Every time you see Claude Puel and you think you're playing for Claude Puel, you kind of wonder, how does he motivate you? What does he do? What does he say? He comes across as being a bit dour and a bit low and a bit... And kind of, I think Leicester have played like that at times this season.
This is what we were talking about last week. It was David Connolly who said he's always sort of one bad result away from people saying what you've just said. And they're very up and down, Leicester. They haven't drawn any games this season. They've either won or they've lost. And sometimes you think, actually, maybe he's doing all right. They've stuck with him. He's been okay. But then when they're bad, they are quite bad.
Yeah. It's very inconsistent, isn't it?
I think they're too open without the ball. I think they got too many people on the floor. You mentioned Chilwell loves to fly forward. Pereira is playing like a winger. If I'm Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans.
Maguire's up the wing.
Exactly. Even Maguire wants to step in.
Oh, he wants to step in. He does,
They've got so many people that want to go forward. I think when they've got the ball, they're too open.
They haven't got Kante now.
No, yeah. They haven't. Mendy's,
they haven't. I mean,
Ndidi
does a good. He does a good job, Ndidi. But yeah.
But do they have the nous? Do they have the intelligence to see things early? I don't know. I just think they concede a bit too easily for me now.
That is borne out by the stats as well. They've only kept 4 clean sheets in the last 23 matches, which is the most of any team in that period.
Bodes well for West Ham then.
Hopefully.
Are without Andrei Yarmolenko for basically the rest of this season. Twisted his ankle and he's gone. I mean, who didn't see that one coming? Jack Wilshere injured. Who didn't see that one coming?
The West Ham injury curse.
Andy Carroll's out. No one saw that one coming. I think, tell you what's interesting for me, for West Ham, is that it feels like Javier Hernandez and Marko Arnautovic have got a bit of an understanding. And Pellegrini tries to put them in the team together. Tried to get in the Wolves game, didn't quite work out. Tried last week, and then I think when they were on together again, it looked a little bit of a mess, though there was some nice passing together. Is there a way to get those two guys in the team together? Would you push Arnautovic to the wing to accommodate Hernandez?
No. I like Arnautovic. I think he's got the physique.
But he missed 4 chances last week.
He's not a natural centre forward, not a natural goal scorer, I think he's a really good player. I really like Arnautovic.
The last one's got to go in. Yeah. Keepers on the ground. You've got to chip him. I mean, we ain't got a striker on this week, but you two would have chipped him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I know, but he's not like he blazed white.
Probably
not. Come on target, at least.
Yeah, that is true. I think West Ham are in a little bit of a kind of do or die a few weeks, really. They've got a December where they play no one of any real magnitude. Teams around their sort of level, mid-table and below. They've had a tough start to the season. They've played a lot of big teams. Man City, I think, next week or the week after. But this is the sort of game, and they're away form. I think they've only beaten, like, Huddersfield, Stoke and Leicester in the last year and a half of playing away games in the Premier League.
And Everton.
And Everton, yeah, this season, of course. So that's an old stat. But that's it for a long, long period of time. What do they get wrong away from home, and what have they got to get right this weekend?
I don't think they can play 2 up front. I don't think they've got the midfield kind of pairing to do that. If you went 4-4-2, I think you've seen that already. They don't have the mobility in the midfield area to do that. If you went with just Hernandez up front, can he do that kind of lone role? I'm not so sure. And Arnautovic, for me, is West Ham's best player, so he's got to stay through the middle. I do think there has been improvement. I think Issa Diop at the back there has come in.
He's done well, hasn't he?
You know, we were calling for him to play when we were starting the season. He's come in. Mm. He's forming a good kind of partnership there with Balbuena. Look, the key to any away performance, you have to defend well first and foremost. And with the players they've kind of got going forward, Arnautovic is going to score goals. The big thing for me, and I don't know what you think, Tom, is Felipe Anderson. I think, you know, he got a lot of stick on the weekend for not tracking kind of Sissoko, blah, blah, blah. But for me, he's been doing too much of that. He's playing way too deep. I've watched him a few times now and he's almost playing like a second fullback. I don't know what the manager's trying to do, but he's almost doing the job of Creswell. He's marking wingers. We think he should be marking fullbacks. Mm-hmm. He's actually marking wingers. And if it's Creswell, whoever's playing there, it's actually Masuaku, who's not actually doing anything really. He's got no one to mark. So I think you've got to push Felipe Anderson forward more, give him more license, get him into forward areas. And the pace he's kind of got on the counter-attacker again, he gives you a different kind of threat. But at the minute, he's doing too much defending, tracking back. He's playing too deep, getting the ball, having to run from deep areas. I think if you get him up the pitch, they look a much more better outfit. You'll see them winning games away from home then.
Got to move on. Loads to get through. Let's talk about Brighton against Wolves. 3 o'clock UK time on Saturday. Brighton have won their last 2 Premier League games without conceding a goal. What kind of world are we living in?
They won one away from home.
Away from home? Madness.
Amazing.
At Newcastle last week, Wolves. Chris Perry, are they getting found out a bit? They're the only team in Europe's big 5 divisions yet to make a change to their starting 11. You've got to eventually, haven't you?
Well, it'd be interesting to see this week after the defeat to Watford last week whether he does change it. I think it can lull players into a little bit of complacency. They think they're going to play every week, and you need competition. You need to be on your toes to keep performing, and I think it's been coming. You know, these sort of performances, they started off the season really well. I've been really impressed with them. I think they're a really good side, by the way. Mm. But I just think if you don't change the team, it just sort of trickles along, and nothing changes, and you kind of just get into this lull of I'm playing, I'm going to be playing next week, I'm going to be playing, whatever I do, I'm playing, and you can't have that. Players need to be challenged. They need to know there's players ready to come in the team. I need to be performing at my best to stay in this team.
What happened to the old saying, though? You don't change a winning team, because I'm sure they had
they hadn't lost for
the last weekend.
I think they're a good team.
Yeah,
I think they're a good team, and this would be a good game actually. I think, because Brighton very strong at home.
They are, but they don't tend to get forward very much, do they, Brighton?
Not really.
So they're going to be on the back foot from the start in this game. Wolves going to have a lot of the ball. It's tough to see how it would go, but you can pretty much tell how they're going to play. First goal going to be crucial, you think. Let's move on to Fulham against Bournemouth. We mentioned this earlier on. I want to get the two centre-half's view on this. Fulham's defence, so bad, they conceded four against Cardiff City. They've conceded six more Premier League goals than any other team this season. 25, the highest total at this stage of an English top-flight campaign to Southampton back in 2012. On average, they'd concede over 100 goals this season if they kept conceding at this rate. Gabs, come to you first. Chris, your view as well. What is so wrong about Fulham's defence?
Well, again, I said it with Leicester. I think they're way too open. I think I said it start of the season with the promoted teams. Everyone was saying Cardiff had got no chance. I said, well, look, Fulham have spent 100 million and they're going to be in exactly the same boat as Cardiff because of the way they play. If they want to go out and play expansive football against the top teams, even the lesser sides, if you're not defensively kind of sound, you're going to get beaten. It's as simple as that. You've seen kind of individual mistakes. You've seen different personnel coming in, different systems. It's just been a mess kind of defensively. You need a bit of continuity. And I think they put so many players in. I think Jokanovic almost, he doesn't know whether to throw them all in. Does he stick with the players that got me here from last season? Is there a bit of animosity now in the dressing room with these players coming in on big wages as well and getting thrown into the team? I don't know. Some of the recruitment, I think you look at maybe Alfie Mawson coming in, and yes, he's a very good player, I think. A good ball-playing defender. But if you're going to play expansive football with your full-backs flying forward,
he's not particularly mobile. Yeah, no. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think there needs to be a bit more thought about, from the manager, how he's going to go about things. And they just need to grind out a couple of results. But I don't know if they've got
They haven't got that in them. They won the championship last year. Sorry, they didn't win
promotion.
It. They got promoted
playing
last year.
Teams basically,
but basically, they pushed their full-backs right on. They left themselves 2v2 at the back because in a championship you can do that because strikers aren't good enough to take advantage of the chances they get. In the Premier League, you cannot leave yourself that open. They're playing exactly the same style. They're getting loads of bodies forward. They're finding it much harder to break teams down and they're leaving themselves so open to the counter-attack that it's almost suicide every time they go out. You've got Dennis Odoi, who, bless him, I think he's a really talented footballer. He's not a great defender. He's really good on the ball. He's playing centre-half in the Premier League now. Mm. You have to be able to defend. Alfie Mawson, for me, I don't think he's any good at all. I think he's terrible.
Really?
I think he's really poor. Defensively, for me, he's shocking. And I was really surprised when someone went in and bought him. I was surprised he was linked with getting in the England squad in the summer. Mm. I was almost pleased that he had that injury, that he had the operation. Because I don't think he's any good. I really don't.
That's a damning indictment there.
I mean, that is the strongest review of Alfie Mawson I've ever heard.
Well,
he's in this defence.
I think he's been really poor. I think he's been really poor since he's moved there. I think he's been at fault for a few goals.
Relegated
last
year.
I think he was at fault for a lot of goals at Swansea last year.
Yeah, he has got a mistake.
I think I don't like teams who sign defenders from teams that have been relegated. I think that's a bad thing to do. You know, these players that have got something on their record that they bring with them, they bring this baggage. Generally, teams that get relegated is because their defence ain't good enough.
Yeah. I'm thinking about things that I can do with my Saturday. And I can either file my tax return, I can maybe go to a corporate event where I learn about governance in middle management, or I can watch Southampton against Newcastle. And honestly, it's a very, very tight decision as to what I'm going to do. They face each other at St Mary's. Wow, Southampton have failed to score in four consecutive Premier League games for the first time since 2004. Newcastle have made their worst ever start to a league campaign after nine games, assuming 3 points for a win. Does anyone want this one? I mean, can we just cancel it, give them both a point? I mean, it's St Mary's is one of the worst places to go watch football right now, isn't it? Something's got to change.
Right now, certainly it. Right now. I mean, having played there, I quite
ground,
enjoyed my
I'm
time
sure.
there.
Lovely place to be. It's a lovely city. But, I mean, they've suffered. Those fans have suffered. Now they've got Newcastle coming to town.
They've had Claude Puel, and then they bring in Mark Hughes, who, for me...
Out of the frying pan.
I can't believe he got another job. Yeah. He's really struggled, didn't he? I mean, he struggled at Stoke. He struggled wherever he goes. He tends to bring the team down, play really negative football. And It's just a horrible circle that they're in at the moment. They just can't get out of, and they're really struggling. They've got no forwards. Danny Ings, if he doesn't play or doesn't score, they don't look like they've got a goal in them. I know Charlie Austin came back last week, missed a couple of chances, maybe at Bournemouth, and he might well be someone who can nick a few goals. He's a bit of a streaky player, isn't he?
I think you can just take the goals away in this one. It's just going to be
you
a game
of possession.
You could
go 0-0, couldn't you? Yeah, you could go 0-0.
20 passes is a goal for each team. Whatever.
One final game we've not mentioned, and it is the 3 o'clock kick-off between Watford and Huddersfield.
You've made us last.
It's last because Huddersfield are in it, mate. No offence. But Huddersfield Town, wow, won just one of their last 19 Premier League games.
Who was
that came against Watford.
Yeah.
They beat you twice last year, didn't they as well?
They did.
Oh, that's Tom Ince game. The one where Tom Ince scored late, we were watching that on the monitors here in the studio, and that game deserved to be 0-0. It was so appalling. And I think that's the one that kept Huddersfield up, I think.
Yeah,
that goal.
Just about to say that, actually, your team helped to keep Huddersfield in.
It's Watford's fault. Yeah. We've got to put up with another year of this.
They beat us 4-1 at Vicarage Road last season in what was just a bit of a nightmare. Deeney got sent off after half an hour and in his first game back from a 4-game suspension. And it just went wrong, and then we couldn't win away from home for love nor money second half of the season. But Watford have had a habit in the last few seasons of being the sort of team that kick-start terrible team seasons. They lost to Swansea out of nowhere last season. Yeah. Stoke did us a few times in the last few seasons. Huddersfield. And they got, you know, that's something that I think hopefully this season will change. And that performance last week against Wolves, I don't think many Watford fans expected that. No. We went into that game thinking, oh, this is a really difficult game.
No Deeney.
He rang the changes completely. Hollybass was suspended. Deeney wasn't in the squad. Yeah. Gray was on the bench. He changed the fullbacks. He put Success up front. De La Feo came in and played centrally, sort of behind Success, and it looked really good. So you'd think on paper going into a game against Huddersfield at home, you're rubbing your hands together, but you've got to remember what happened last season. Don't be complacent.
You just don't see a strength with Huddersfield, do you? Even if the Proctor's playing, you're thinking, okay, they're going to be direct, get the ball into him, get runners around him. They don't even really do that. Don't probably get enough service from wide areas into him. They don't really have that kind of counter-attacking threat. And they're just there. They're just out there saying, come on, try and beat us, basically.
I fear for them. I think they'll go down
this season. Yeah. I think
it's too much for them.
I can't see him getting more than 25 points. I said it to the start of the season, and I've done two of their games this year, and nothing has made me think otherwise. Right, that's the end of our show for this week. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Gabs. Thanks, Dave. Great to have you with us on the panel this week. A reminder, if you are listening to this programme on a radio station, you can download an extended podcast. Search for TalkSport Premier League Preview Show on Acast, iTunes, Spotify, or any other good podcast provider. See you next week.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.